Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Christ. I invite you to be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I find it interesting how teachers have different philosophies and systems to motivate children to demonstrate good behavior, follow directions, and learn from their teacher. One elementary teacher may have a positive reward system to motivate children, where they earn something for doing a good job, while another one teaching the same grade level may have a totally different philosophy and not have a reward system for what she considers the kids to be just doing their job. Jesus, in this parable, moves us out of the if X, then Y reward system mindset to because of Y, then X way of thinking and living. X being loving God and our neighbor as ourselves, and Y being we are saved by faith in his grace to which we are tied in baptism. So rather than demanding, if you love God and your neighbor as yourself first, then you will be saved, Jesus teaches his disciples that because you have been saved by my redeeming grace on the cross, to which you have been tied in baptism forever, you are free to love God and your neighbor as yourself. Martin Luther wrote about that in his treatise, The Freedom of a Christian. Today's reading begins with, "The apostles said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith.' The Lord replied, 'If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea," and it would obey you.'" If only we had more faith, we could move mountains, as Mark's version tells us. When read out of context and taken literally, we can feel unnecessary guilt for not having enough faith to perhaps save a loved one's life, or keep our child from harm, or overcome an addiction or illness. So to shed some light on this pericope reading and debunk those myths, we return to the Gospel of Luke, where we find the disciples asking Jesus for more faith at the end of a list of his teaching on what it means to follow Jesus. Luke 17, 1 through 4 reads, "Jesus said to his disciples, 'Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times and says, 'I repent,' you must forgive." Not only does Jesus give his followers a strong warning about being a stumbling block to other believers, but he tells us we need to forgive repentant sinners, Not just once, but again and again, so long as they're repenting. No wonder his disciples are asking Jesus for more faith. That task in itself can seem impossible and is impossible without God's help. Don't we at times wonder if we have what it takes to be a good Christian when someone mistreats us and we are asked to forgive them if they repent? Wouldn't we rather hold on to grudges, seek revenge, or distance ourselves altogether from them? I know I would. Granted, people who are abused mentally, physically, or sexually are not bound to stay with their abuser, and that's not what Jesus is asking them to do. But he is talking more about that we are free in him to seek help so that we may have a healthy and whole life in Jesus. But what about those whose situation does not fall into those categories? Don't we find ways to gain back our power by our own idea of what is best? For those who struggle with this, the text has underlying good news, that though we struggle with feeling that we can't be good Christian followers of Jesus, the faith in God's grace in Jesus Christ freely given to us in baptism with the Holy Spirit is what renews us through the power of the Holy Spirit to trust in God's forgiveness of our sin. When we gather around word and sacrament in worship, when we do devotions, when we study scripture, when we serve our neighbor by proclaiming Christ crucified and risen through word and deed. Reverend Nadia Boltz-Weber, in her online YouTube video, Forgiving, Imagine an Expletive, says, I really believe that when someone else does us harm, we're connected to that mistreatment like a chain. Because forgiveness is nothing less than an act of fidelity to an evil combating campaign. So it's not an act of niceness. It's not being a doormat. It really, to me, is more about us than them. Maybe retaliation or holding on to anger about the harm done to me doesn't actually combat evil. Maybe it feeds it. Because in the end, if we're not careful, we can actually absorb the worst of our enemy. And on some level, even start to become them. So what if forgiveness, rather than being like a pansy way of saying it's okay, is actually a way of wielding bolt cutters and snapping the chain that links us? Like it is saying what you did was so not okay that I refuse to be connected to it anymore. Forgiveness is about being a freedom fighter, and free people are dangerous people. Free people aren't controlled by the past. Free people laugh more than others. Free people see beauty where others do not. Free people are not easily offended. Free people are unafraid to speak truth to stupid. Free people are not chained to resentment. That's worth fighting for. There really is a light that shines in the darkness, and that the darkness will not, shall not, overcome it. So in reflecting on this gospel reading and hearing Reverend Nadia Boltz-Weber speak on the power of forgiveness to free us from the harm that we are still connected to when we hold on to unforgiveness, known and unknown, For me, it is saying that though I am struggling to follow Jesus due to the hurts I have unjustly endured, holding on to the pain of those hurts, even though I do that, Jesus' love, grace, and faith is sufficient for me. You see, the parable makes it sound like the disciples want more faith, as in they think that the quantity of their faith is what will help them forgive others. But Jesus teaches us that it is his faith that is a gift to us that gives us the power to forgive others when they repent. And that faith in his grace for the forgiveness of our sin is sufficient to help us do so. That little mustard seed of faith given to me in baptism has the power to heal and transform me when I leave all my pain and hurts at the cross and come to the table to be fed by his love and forgiveness and leave thanking God for his grace and mercy and unconditional love and desire for my healing. And to me, that grace is like Jesus handing me a set of bolt cutters to snap the chain that links me and my offender. For the repentant offender, perhaps that means hope for reconciliation when I leave the table of grace. For an unrepentant offender, perhaps that means I am free to speak the truth in love and give the offender a chance to repent and for God to fill me with faith sufficient enough to forgive them. Or if it is not possible to be reconciled to the offender, to wield those bolt cutters and snap the chain that links us through my forgiveness of the person or situation. To me, the faith that is sufficient for us tells me that because Jesus has forgiven me for my sin, I am free to forgive myself for those things that I hold on to and haven't forgiven myself for. I am free to laugh more, love more, and serve my neighbor more, not being weighed down by the chain of resentment. So as we come to the table today, may we bring all that chains us and using God's bolt cutters of grace, leave, having been forgiven, trusting that grace. May we leave free so that we may follow Jesus to do our job of loving and forgiving others, not so that we can earn salvation, but out of the joy of our unearned, unremovable salvation that we have in Christ Jesus in baptism. So help us, God. Amen.